21st Century Entrepreneurship with Martin Piskarik.
If you're an entrepreneur, if you work for yourself, you only have to work half days, and you can decide which 12 hours that's going to be. It's a hard journey. So you've got to be up for it. You've got to be ready. You've got to be prepared to put in the hard yards, but know that you're on purpose and know what you're doing, know why you're doing it, know who you're doing it with. And those questions, I think, start the entrepreneurial journey. Sometimes I think with entrepreneurs, I had a meeting today with a friend of mine who's the chief executive of Entrepreneurial Scotland, bringing together the entrepreneurial ecosystem in my country to make Scotland a better place. And around the world, entrepreneurs show up and they watch shows, in the US, the Shark Tank, or we have Dragon's Den in the UK, you know, and they think that's what entrepreneurship is. It's not really. And it's not... It's not The Apprentice, you know? It's not Donald Trump. It's not that. Because that doesn't really talk to creating value in the world. So entrepreneurship is creating value in the world in a place that you think is important. So that's where it starts. But it starts, Martin, with half days, right? 12 hours and longer every day if you're on purpose. I thought I wanted to be a master of the universe. I went to be an investment banker and quite quickly discovered that that wasn't in my soul. It was intellectually stimulating. It was exciting. I was working with people, amazing people with brains the size of planets, but it wasn't in my soul. It was like cotton candy, you know, like candy floss. It was very tasty, but no nourishment. So listening, I think, first of all, to those signals and signs, and being on purpose. Why is it that you want to do this thing? So it's not about, I don't think you start with the marketing plan. I think you start with self. And our whole business at Insights, we start with, who are you? That question, the who am I question, or who are you question, is an age-old question. Who am I, and does anybody care? Who am I, and does anybody love me or want what I've got to bring to this world? So I think that entrepreneurialism starts with that question of purpose, and it starts with, who am I and why am I here? Now, that's big in motherhood and apple pie, but the reality is, for the entrepreneurial journey, you've got to bring yourself. It's not something that you do to compare yourself with others, to be better than others. You do it for you, and you do it for the value you feel you can create in the world. So I'm Andy, and I'm on this planet to encourage others, to help others realize their potential. Insights is a global organization that helps people understand who they are, who others around them are, and how you can make the maximum impact with those things. So we work around the world with large organizations doing leadership development and team development, but it all starts with self. It all starts with, who are you? When you understand self and you understand why, you understand purpose, there's something about purpose for your organization, for what you're trying to do. And by the way, these soft skills are human skills. And these are the skills that will help entrepreneurs succeed in the 21st century and beyond. They're human skills. They're not soft, they're hard. But the hard skills of growing your business begins with your purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? What is the value that you bring to the world? Simon Sinek says, people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do what you do. So I think starting with that is important. In terms of the harder stuff, well, you need a plan. Absolutely, you do. But here's the notion about the plan. The plan begins then, if we have purpose clear, the plan begins with the vision. What is it that you want to see in 5 or 10 or 50 years for your organization? And the vision needs to be compelling. It needs to be inspiring. It needs to have the energy that when you look around in 5 or 10 or 50 years, you look around and you see, I have this thing around me. It compels you. But vision's not enough, because in organizations, we also need to have goals, and goals are the starting point of plans. So the goals are the specific outcomes, the specific things that you want to achieve in this current strategic plan. But what I would say about goals, my experience of them, is that the most powerful goals for your organization are the BHAGs, the big, hairy, audacious goals, the ones that you've no idea how you're going to accomplish, the ones that are ridiculous. I remember probably about 10 years ago or so, being in a meeting talking about BHAGs. I'm a big believer in BHAGs. And we were talking, one of the things that we had was a financial goal. And that's not, that, you know, the money is just a measure of how you're doing, I suppose. But we wanted to get to £100 million in revenue. We were probably doing about 15 or 20. So the BHAG was £100 million. What the team said, that's ridiculous. That's not a BHAG. We know how to do that. The BHAG's a billion. So we wrote it on a post-it and put it on the wall. Now, it doesn't really matter what that number is, as long as we don't know how to get there, because it stimulates new ways of thinking. Once that's done, there's something about, that's the kind of direction setting process. Now, in terms of the next steps of the planning process, well, what are the things that you're going to have to become brilliant at as an organization to achieve those goals? So you don't know how you're going to achieve the goals, but if you were going to achieve them, what are the critical success factors? The small number of things, the 3 to 7 things that if you become brilliant at them, you can realize these big hideous goals. Now, you're not going to get it right first time. I don't believe in 5-year project plans in most organizations. Some need them, some do, but in most organizations, you can't plan 5 years. If you go back, just think about what's happened in the last 5 years for us, right? The biggest thing, COVID-19 and a pandemic, where everybody's plans disappeared. Now, in those moments, that's when maybe your critical success factors change, but the goals don't have to change. The vision doesn't have to change. The purpose doesn't have to change. And in fact, you should stick to those things. When we were in the COVID-19 situation, we were asking the question, if COVID-19 was a teacher, what's it teaching us as an organization? And you know what, Martin? It taught us an awful lot of things about our organization. We learned things that we already knew, but we had to respond to this. We nearly lost the business. And we did in 6 weeks what it would have taken us 6 years to do in innovation, because we were able to adapt. So if we had a 5-year plan and we tried to stick with that plan, we wouldn't be here. So the goals are important, the critical success factors are important. Then it's about making good discriminating choices about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, right? So Michael Porter said, the art of strategy is deciding what not to do. So being really clear and making those discriminating choices. And I think the plans, the project plans and the resourcing plans and the people plans, they all flow from that. They all flow from the discriminating choices you make. So in my head, that's the hierarchy of strategy. That's the harder stuff as we plan in businesses. So here's the interesting thing about what we do at Insights. Because we start with the individual, our starting point is, who are you? And we want to help you understand who you are. We want you to understand how other people are not like you, or like you, or different to you, and how do you collaborate for better outcomes, whatever they might be, whether it's a better teamwork, better customer service, better. So, right. So because we start with the individual, the work that we do applies to anybody. And as it happens, we have commercialized all of that with large organizations, because it's where we can make huge impact. We said earlier that the idea of entrepreneurs understanding who they are is critical. And so when if I sit down with a fellow entrepreneur, the questions I want to explore are, why are you doing what you're doing? What does your business exist for? What is the value that you add? And I think in terms of frames, like there's a wonderful Japanese idea called Ikigai. And for entrepreneurs, I was talking today to a friend, a fellow entrepreneur, who mentioned a book called Good to Great that Jim Collins wrote many years ago. And it's still a powerful book. He identified this idea in your business of the hedgehog concept. And there were three parts to that. The first was, what are you passionate about as a business or as an entrepreneur? What are you passionate about? The second was, what can you be best in the world at? And the third was, what's the economic engine that drives your business? So every entrepreneur needs to think about that. The frame of Ikigai, though, overlays on that. It says, firstly, what do you love? What do you love? What are you passionate about? Secondly, what are you good at? What are your natural skills, the innate talents and gifts that you have? And what do you have to learn to be good at to deliver? The third aspect of Ikigai is, what can you be paid for? That's the same as Jim Collins' economic engine. You need a business model that makes sense. So it might be, you know, in that these first three frames, I might love cupcakes. I might be really good at making cupcakes. It's going to be really hard to build a business model that will pay you well for making cupcakes. Just hard. So those three elements are important. But the clincher for entrepreneurs is the fourth element of Ikigai. So after that which I love, that which I'm good at, that which I can be paid for, is what does the world need that I can provide? What does the world need that my business can provide? That's the value question for customers. So that applies, that idea applies at the individual level for an entrepreneur, as well as at the corporate level. And the combination, or actually not the combination, the intersection of those four things, that which I love, that which I'm good at, that which I can be paid for, and that which the world needs that I can provide, that's Ikigai. It's a reason for being. And if you can nail that in your business, whether you're a startup or whether you're a multinational corporation, you're halfway there. When we began this journey, we didn't know anything about anything, really, my dad and I, but we knew we wanted to make a dent in the universe somehow. So we got involved. We'd come across some American personal and management development material. But sometimes in different cultures, you're in Zagreb, Martin. So sometimes in different cultures, the American approach works. Sometimes it doesn't. This particular approach was 21 keys to success and achievement in your business. Step number one, make a decision to exceed all your previous levels of accomplishment, right? That worked for some people and it didn't work for others. So what we began to explore was, why are people different? Why do they learn differently? Why do they interact differently? Why is it, as Carl Jung said, the shoe that fits one person pinches another? So we began to explore that and explore different models of different frames of understanding personality and the differences in people. And we realized there was nothing out there that did what we wanted it to do. So we built a model of personality. So over the last 30 years, we've built and refined a model called Insights Discovery. Insights Discovery is at the heart of what we do. And it's an easy access point. So let's start with four simple ideas for entrepreneurs, right? There are four distinct energies that entrepreneurs can bring. There's an energy that we call fiery red energy. Bottom line, fast paced, get this thing done, move it on, use personal power to drive this through. That's one way. There's an energy in that some entrepreneurs use. We call it cool blue. Carl Jung called it introverted thinking. And cool blue is structured and organized and systematic and planful. There's an energy that some entrepreneurs like to use called Earth Green. And Earth Green is dependable and coaching and consistent and values driven. And there's an energy called Sunshine Yellow energy that some entrepreneurs use. Sunshine Yellow is, hey, it's great to be on this, Martin. What a great conversation we're having. Oh, look, there's a plane. You know, it's a bit more, and it will engage. It will engage other people and inspire other people. And there's no right, no wrong in any of that. So understanding which of these energies you use and in what way helps you make decisions about where are you going to focus. It helps you make decisions about what kind of people do you need to have around you to fill the gaps that you don't have. So we start with the four energy entry point, moves to eight types of combinations of different personality preferences. Jung identified eight, and then we move to 56 and 72 distinct types of people. Now, the typology is not what's important. What's important is, can I understand more about me, my gifts, my strengths, my weaknesses, my possible overplayed strengths? Can I understand more about you and why you're different to me and why sometimes we judge each other? Sometimes we have an interaction and we just have a conflict in our personalities. We don't understand why. Can we codify that, make sense of it? And in organizations, if we can do that, we're more effective and more productive. We save time. We build better relationships. We engage people more. We retain people more. We know how to develop people who are with us more. So that's the bundle of things that we focus on. We've talked about purpose and vision and values and goals and BHAGs and strategy and so on. There is something in all of that bundle of things about understanding who you are, understanding self, the limitations of self and the possibilities of self. We always evolve as human beings. We're never static. But there's this concept that emanates from that, Martin. We call it rediscovering human. One of the things I think we need to think about in this world of technology, I mean, we look at the emergence of artificial intelligence, of biotechnology, those two major technologies that, you know, of synthetic biology and the research there and the implications for the human race. And we look at the disruption in the world and we look at the disruption of our political systems. We look at the wars that are happening in the world right now. We look at technological disruption. We look at social disruption. Even gender identity and issues like that. The one thing that I believe holds a potential solutions to all of these things is our rediscovering our humanity, rediscovering human. So as the world goes technology mad, then and as the demise of truth through social media disappears, I think human connections become more and more important. So helping people, individuals, and organizations understand who they are and the human connections is really important. Now, we use technology to do this. So you and I, right at the moment, are having a Zoom conversation. We're not face-to-face, but I can see you, and I can get a sense of your energies from that. It's quite human, this kind of synchronous human experience. We mustn't lose that. So as AI becomes more and more prevalent, let's find the ways that it serves, but let's not lose human. That feels important. I think innovation, that little phrase that says, if it ain't broke, break it, is kind of important. We tend to get to we look for a place in our organizations where we're stable. We've got some version of stability. But that stability can come sometimes with a little bit of complacency. So it's always good to be changing, always good to be moving. And at Insights, we think about a couple of ways to build our future. One is innovation in our core strategy, which is to do with taking the wonderful things that we have out to the world. I mean, this year, there will be almost 1 million people will experience Insights Discovery in some form across the world. So we try to innovate there in our core, how we deliver that. But there's so much more to do with that work. But the other aspect of our innovation is what we call our explore strategy, where we're moving into spaces that we don't quite know. We don't know how, though. For example, in AI, we've launched a partnership with one of our largest global clients to explore how artificial intelligence will support the work that we do in their organization. So we're looking at places that we don't understand in order to learn things that will support the development of our core. Now, as you innovate, it's important not to lose the core. You mustn't lose the things that have made you strong. Sometimes I think, sometimes innovation happens this way. It's a big bang, but innovation is usually quite iterative. It kind of comes over time. So it's doing the right things along the way to keep exploring, to keep moving beyond the comfort zone in the organization, just exploring those edges whilst being brilliant at your core proposition. I think that's where innovation is important. It seems to me that in our organizations and as individuals, it is our duty to do well by doing good in the world. It's okay to do well. It's important to do well. But we need to do that by adding value to the world along the way. So some organizations will do that through their ESG or their CSR policy. Some will have it stitched into everything they do. We try to do that. So we do both. We have our Insights Foundation, where we make our IP available to organizations that wouldn't otherwise access it. The foundation also donates money. So we're supporting a number of charities at the moment. Two of my favorites, there's one run by a wonderful young man called Josh Littlejohn, called Social Bite. And Josh's big, hairy, audacious goal is to eradicate homelessness. That's a big, hairy, audacious goal. And we're helping Josh do that. We're building some villages in cities around Scotland, and indeed Josh extends around the world to try and work on the issue of homelessness. The other issue that's really important to us is in the education of those who don't have access to education. So another amazing charity that we support, have a look for it. It's called Mary's Meals. Mary's Meals educates children in a place of education in developing countries. In Malawi, it costs £3.90 a year. £3.90, about $15, $16 to educate a child in a place of education for a year. Mary's Meals helps local organizations build the schools and gives the children a bowl of vitamin-enriched maize every day so they come to school. That's changing the world. So making a difference in the world is really important. Doing well by doing good. We'll be delighted to help anyone who wants to come and see us. We've got a wonderful website called insights.com. Take a peek, and hopefully we can connect with you there.
Twenty-first Century Entrepreneurship with Martin Piskarik.
Imagine a space where triumphs, trials, and tales of entrepreneurship come alive. Welcome to the 21st Century Entrepreneurship Podcast. A gold awarded journey hosted by Martin Piskarik, connecting with listeners in 95 countries and ranking in the top 0.5% of all podcasts. Join our exclusive community, elevate your perspective, and embark on the path to success.